Roots and Shoots with Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
One of my favourite people in the world, and one of yours, I know, is Sabrina Hahn. She's with me in the studio, sitting alongside, ready to get going. How's things? What about the rain?
Oh, my God. I just wanted to go out completely naked and roll in the lawn while
it rained. What
do
you mean you wanted to, didn't you?
Hey, because... they're building a two-story house behind me, and I thought
maybe.
Maybe.
You know, the Sabrina I knew of old wouldn't have given a damn.
It was raining heavily, though.
And I stood in the rain because it was just so joyful. And then there was this chorus of frogs singing. Oh. They were so happy. They didn't. You know how when you find a frog, you go near it, you can't see it.
It stops.
Mm. Which I always think is very bad survival because then you know exactly where it is. But they didn't even do that. They were just like, yay, bring it on.
Wasn't it? We got, in the G, we got 73 mils.
Ooh.
73. That's more than we had all year.
It's been parched. I must say, my front garden is not doing well, and it is rejoicing in the rain.
Yeah.
But you know when you've got poor soil, I've been trying to build it up.
Yeah.
But it was just looking so sad. Like the rain is one thing, but should you be sort of like building up the poor soils at this time?
Definitely.
Yep.
Best time to do it.
Okay. And what to put in?
So, look, I've been doing a bit of experimentation with biochar lately in the veggie garden.
Okay.
And I've found that it seems to hold on to sort of all the good, like the manures and the compost that I've been mixing in as well. So if you do all those,
is it an enzyme or something? Biochar.
No. Oh. It's full of potassium and all sorts of other goodies.
Okay.
Because it's basically it's charcoal that's sort of formed without oxygen. So you can read some stuff about they ended up finding, scientists have found where civilizations existed, ancient civilizations, by the biochar that they've found in the soils, and they've found that those soils are far more productive than other soils, and they've found that biochar is part of the makeup of these highly productive agricultural
areas. So does it come in like a powdered form, like a form of ash, basically?
No, it's not ash. It's more like a cross between charcoal and ash. So it's a very fine charcoal. So you buy it in a bag, but you'd need to dig it into the soil. So while you're digging into the soil, dig in a bit of clay, which you only have to do once. But definitely put in compost and manures. And then you've got all those wonderful liquids that are available now that have got all the amino acids and, you know, kelp and all sorts of things.
And that's all good for natives.
Great for natives, but also good for microorganisms in the soil.
Cool.
So it's the microorganisms that will get plants through highly stressful times, like summer.
Okay. Thank you for all of that. Let's go to Kat from Hilton. Hello, Kat from Hilton. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, ladies.
Our pleasure.
What's the problem?
Well, you might have already just answered it then. I'm finding in spring my citrus plants, particularly my Caracara orange and a lime that I have, they just seem to be going really well. They're budding, they're blooming, you know.
Yep.
And then they just get stressed or something like that in spring.
In spring.
They drop their leaves.
Yep.
And then they've got like small branches die. It's happened multiple times. So just wondering if you have any advice for us.
Look, it's all about soil where you are, Kat. Hilton has, I'm in the G, so our soil is a bit similar, but you have caprock limestone, and it's usually not that far down under soil sand.
we've discovered it a few times because we've got some wicking beds, and yes,
okay.
We've got the grinder out a few
times. Yeah, so you're going to have to constantly improve the soil.
And when you say constantly, how often is that?
Every year, once a year.
Once a year.
Yeah,
yep.
Compost, manure. If you can do that during the winter months, then there's a bit more mass, biomass to your soil before spring and summer, Kat.
And you're particularly talking about any sorts of manures, or are they all?
It depends what you're growing. So for citrus, for instance, then chicken poo is fantastic, but you're not going to use that on natives. So depending on what you're growing. And then to protect that, all the goodness that you've put in the soil, and definitely use drenches as well.
What's a drench?
With things like seaweed and amino acids and all those, you know, liquid compost, all those sorts of things. So if you can do that on a regular basis, once a year, just go gung-ho on pumping as much stuff into the soil as you possibly can, then that sort of aids your plants getting through all those stressful times later on in summer. And the great thing doing it at this time of the year and in winter is that you've got the moisture for the microscopic bacteria, which is that you want the good bacteria, to actually link and connect to other bacteria, and fungi connects to fungi. So you get this massive hoedown of all the microorganisms dancing in your soil.
Thanks, Kat. Let's go to Harry from Beaconsfield. Hello, Harry. Hey, Harry, you're on with Sabrina.
G'day, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, welcome, Harry.
Good to have you.
So I've got an absolutely ripper mandarin tree out the back.
Yeah.
And fruits like crazy. And just lately it's been starting to drop quite a lot of fruit. And that's quite unusual for this time of year.
Well, I tell you what, Harry, you are going to be one of many, many people that will ring over the next 4 weeks and say all their citrus that has fruit is dropping off. And the reason for that, I've lost about a quarter of my crop of oranges. The reason for that is the deluge of rain that we had. And what happens with citrus is the cells that actually make up the skin are determined by the water regime up to formation of the fruit when it's very young. So they decide, according to how much moisture they've had, how big the fruit will be. And then you get splitting and dropping if you have a sudden inundation, or the opposite, a sudden drought, during the development of that tree. Mandarins notoriously are better fruiters biannually. So every second year you'll get a much better crop. And your off year, they tend to drop a lot of the fruit, and that just seems to be what they do, just to annoy.
So it's kind of fait accompli, really. Yep. Mm. Good luck with that, Harry. Interesting, you say biannually. I've got an avocado tree, which you know, and it's a shepherd, and it just blows me away. Last year, I would have had, you know, 150.
Yep.
And
yep.
This year, I've got three.
Yep.
And I did feed it, but I figured that it's having a sabbatical.
Yeah, that's right. Mine's the same.
I don't blame it.
I got hundreds of fruit last year, and I reckon I'll probably only get about 50 this year.
Yep. Oh, well, you're getting 50. So I'm getting three.
I'll share some of mine with you.
Thank you. Let's talk to Crucia in Como. Hi, Crucia. Line three. No, Crucia might not be ready. Let's go to Meg in Bicton. Hello, Meg. Hello.
I think this is Meg here in Bicton.
Okay. Yep.
Hello.
All right.
You might be through to me. It's Kushla.
Good. Kushla. You were the one we were after in the first place.
Yeah, you were. Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Geraldine. I wondered if you could help me. I have an arbor built over my front path.
Yeah.
And I'm currently growing a climbing rose, which is not doing well at all.
Right.
So I thought I'd remove it, and I need something that will grow over the arbor in full sun. It has full sun. Have you got any suggestions, please?
Do you want something with perfume?
Yes,
ooh,
please.
Yes. Mm. How lovely.
Now, people think that stephanotis only grow in the shade, but I've seen stephanotis used on a front fence in Palmyra in full blazing sun.
Really?
It crept all along the fence line and it was so abundant with flowers.
What would you put, if you were establishing it for the first time, I think that was a redundant phrase, but anyway, what would you put in the soil?
Some things take years to establish though.
They take a long time, don't they?
Yeah, they're slow growing.
Okay, but they're worth it.
For the first couple of years. So have a look at that. But also there's the beautiful honeysuckle that's purpurea. So it's Lonicera japonica purpurea. That is so tough, so hardy, and flowers for months and months and months on end, and loves the sun. Then there's the mandevilla.
Oh, I love mandevilla.
Must have full sun to flower well. It's not perfumed, but it depends. They don't grow very, very high. You'd only get them to 3 meters, I reckon.
Okay, that
three
would
to
be
four
enough,
meters.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
So go for the mandevillas that are the Aloha. There's a couple that are white or yellow, and they are the white ones are the much bigger climbers, and they do have a perfume in the evening.
Good luck with that, Kushla. It's 16 minutes to 3. You're with Sabrina and Geraldine, or Jerry, and you can call us on 1300 221 0025 or SMS us on 0437 221 0025. Meg from Bicton, hello and welcome.
Yes, you. Thanks for taking my call. Sabrina told me ages ago to put, that I could put, what's that stuff? Oh.
Blood and bone.
Yes. Oh. You got it in one.
Oh, there you go.
On top of leaves.
Eucalyptus leaves?
No. I thought you said you couldn't put it on eucalyptus leaves.
Yes, you can. But you need to chop your eucalyptus leaf. The problem with eucalyptus leaves, Meg, is they take forever to break down, like a year.
Yeah.
But if you put blood and bone on, then that starts the actual process, and then you add a bit of moisture and you cover it with a tarp and then you leave it to brew for 6 months and it starts breaking down the eucalyptus leaves. If you can throw the leaves through a mulcher first, Even better still. Okay. No. So.
Okay. This is for curry leaves and bay tree leaves. I did it before all the rain came.
Yeah.
Do I keep doing it? Because it washed through in two flips because we had 85 mils.
Where did you say you are?
Bicton.
85 mils. That's impressive.
Wow.
I've got a rain gauge. Yep.
Okay. So so that's all gone now. Your blood and bone.
Sorry, Pina.
I think you might need to add a little bit more, Meg.
Okay. Thank you, Meg. Let's go to Susan in Iluka. Hello, Susan.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello, Susan.
Right, I have a little anomaly.
Yes.
When we bought this house I'm in now 5 years ago, it had one of those horrible box hedges.
Yep.
And in one spot there was a dead one, and I didn't take much notice. So I had it all ripped up.
Yep.
And I planted cousin its and leucodendron silver bells.
Yeah.
Now, all of the silver bells are doing beautifully, flowering and all that, but the one where the dead plant was died. And I thought, there's something in the soil.
Yep.
So I dug out the soil, and down below there was a big limestone pillar.
Oh.
And I thought, so I put all new soil and stuff in, and I bought another leucodendron.
Mm-hmm.
Planted it. It did reasonably well, and then all of a sudden, dead.
Okay, so your limestone pillar, I don't know why they would bury a limestone pillar, but anyway.
I think it's a retaining pillar because it's one of those high limestone walls.
Okay. So the limestone is actually leaking out into the soil, and if you did a soil test right next to the pillar, you would find that it's probably very alkaline. Now, leucodendrons, leucospermums, and most of the South African protea family do not like really alkaline soil. So it might be kind of percolating up through the soil.
Yeah. But where the others are planted alongside the
pillar,
wall,
doing okay.
No, not the pillar, along the wall itself.
Oh, are doing all right. Fine. Yeah.
It's only the one
they're a bit
the
further away.
Buried under the ground.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So you reckon that's all it is?
Yeah, I reckon. There is, I had a spot, and I think most people will find if they've got a bigger garden, there will be a spot that you put in. I don't know how many trees I killed in this spot. Like probably went through about six trees and over a period of a year or two they die. I got a mini excavator in and dug right down into the soil to see if I could find anything that was causing the death. It didn't matter what I put in that spot, they died.
It was the soil of death.
Yeah, it was, and I never found out. So the thing is with older properties, you've got no idea what people have poured. Like when I had a big dozer basically come through my backyard, I found the original laundry had been buried.
Really?
So with all these old red bricks and, I mean, but great because I got to use them all in my pathways. But
yeah,
the thing is we've got no idea what people put in their ground.
Yeah,
might be where the builders put all their whatever.
Yeah, well, that is a very common thing where they just dump any of their building material in a hole in the ground, and particularly if it's liquid, you've got no idea what it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck, Susan. And just before we go to Rod from Safety Bay, let's go through a couple of texts. And there was one about this Hakea larinia from, I don't know who it's from. But anyway, she says, happy to talk on radio if necessary. What's wrong with my baby Hakea larinia?
Okay. So these Hakeas were, she's in a group where it's a Save the Carnaby Cockatoo group. So someone's actually grown these Hakeas from seed and she's had the tree from a seedling for 6 months and it's struggling badly. So now remember that Hakeas prefer, particularly the Larina, they prefer a bit heavier soil. So I would say that the problem is the soil that it's growing in. So if you've got friends that live up in the hills, take a bucket up there and get some of their soil. Mm. Make sure there's no dieback on the property.
How do you make sure there's no dieback?
Well, you'll see if there's dieback because stuff is just dying all around you. So part of it's minerals that you find in the hill soil. So you could even add some trace elements to it and do that, but you need to give a bit more oomph to the soil.
Oh, I've got friends in the hills. I'm heading for their place as soon as we speak.
Yep. So what you do, Jerry, is you take your bucket of sand up and then swap it for their bucket of beautiful, loamy, gravelly soil.
Doesn't sound like a very fair exchange, does it?
Well, you know, they need drainage, you see.
It's 10 minutes to 3 with Sabrina Hahn on Roots and Shoots. I was going to ask you something else, but Trucker from Broome says, can you grow kangaroo paws in Broome?
Absolutely you can. Yeah, definitely. Now, speaking of that, you need to get the older ones like yellow gem, red gem, amber velvet, the taller old-fashioned ones because they don't get the problem with the new kangaroo paws is they all end up with ink spot or fungal diseases. So go for the old-fashioned yellow gem, red gem, amber velvet.
Okay. Let's talk to Rod from Safety Bay about his citrus. Hello, Rod. What's the problem?
G'day, ladies. I've got a lemon tree that's growing beautifully, but it always gets and it curls up the leaves.
Oh, okay. That may not be scale. That could be citrus leaf minor, or you could have both.
No, that's what it is, citrus leaf minor.
Okay. All right. So now there's no point in spraying with oils for citrus leaf minor because the moth comes out at night, lays the egg inside the leaf. The egg hatches into this tiny, weeny, weeny little caterpillar and eats the centre of the leaf and all the chlorophyll. So if you spray it, it's not going to hit the caterpillar anyway. The most effective way of getting rid of citrus leaf miner, in my opinion, is you pluck the leaves off. as you see it.
And what if it's all over it?
Well, then you've got to be selective with how much you pluck off. But even if you just take a third of them off and then wait for the next growth phase and then take that third off. Because oils and you can't get that inside the leaf.
So, all the best with that,
Rod. Or you go out at night time with one of those, the camping electric bats, and you hit the moths because they come out at night. If you put a little light near your... put a little light near the lemon tree at night, attracts all those moths, and you can either, if you want to get really adventurous, you just get a butterfly net or a fish net and leap and bound about like...
Is this naked?
Yeah, naked. probably not in winter.
Can I just ask another quick question? I've got some bananas and I'm about to put a mango in and wondering what's the best fertiliser and sort of how much to put on.
Oh, geez. I don't know how you're going to go with a mango in Safety Bay, Rod. Once the root system gets down to that soil, it's not going to be happy. You'll be adding trace elements constantly on that. Your bananas will be okay. So, but bananas prefer to be flooded twice a week. You'll have to add lots of good tucker in the soil. And, Rod, you're going to have to protect it from the wind.
So you've got pretty protected.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Your bananas will do really well, Rod.
Okay, best of luck, Rod. Just before we go to the next call, Jess from Yanjibup says, for the first time in 10 years, my lime has ever got to the stage of bearing fruit. Usually the flowers bud then fall off. I have this one lime and wondering when to pick it. And also, should I prune off the shoots that are growing for the first time? I think you should have a party, a lime picking party, and play some drums.
Well, my lime took 6 years to fruit. I find that foliar trace element spray is really good because it's got potassium in it. So I find that is really effective to get bloody citrus trees to fruit. So now you need to prune it at the sort of around August. Don't prune it yet. And give it a big hurrah. Pat its little trunk and go, oh, you're a very good thing. but I would definitely get the foliar trace element spray on it every fortnight. And now it's fruited once, it gets the idea of what to do.
John in Boxwood Hill is next. John, is Boxwood Hill Jeremungup?
Correct.
Oh, well, that was slim knowing that one.
Beautiful,
so
beautiful.
He gets the prize. So what have you got going on with your pomegranates?
I've got a number of pomegranates, but one of them, the one that's been in the ground for the longest period of time, every time it has grows fruit, if it was a tomato, I would say it has blossom end rot.
Oh, okay.
It goes black on the flower end of the fruit, and then sort of rots away, and eventually drops it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they don't get blossom end rot, but it is a fungal problem, John. So you need to spray your pomegranate on when it's bud burst with lime sulfur. So too late to do anything now, but just when you see the leaves first emerging in spring, that's when you spray it with lime sulphur.
Okay. We've only got a very short amount of time, so we're going to take a quick call from Rob from Queen's Park. Hey, Rob.
Thank you.
What's happening with you?
Oh, hi. Look, I've got a ponytail palm. The top of it seems to have died.
Oof. It's not the flower. It's the top. That's unusual.
Okay, so next to it about a metre away, that's fine.
That's fine. So it's rotting from the top down, I would say. You need to spray it with anti-rot. If it keeps happening, you just cut its head off and it will shoot from the side.
Okay, thank you, Rob. And just a couple of quick texts, Sabrina, as we've got 45 seconds. This is like a test. When should I prune my gardenia?
Not until spring.
Not until spring. Can I transplant crepe myrtle?
Yep. Okay. Do it now.
Good. You're very good at this. I've got three self-seeded olive trees that are doing okay in pots but don't look nice. The branches shoot out horizontally. No. How can I beautify
them? Burn them. Get rid of them. They're a terrible weed all through the hills. And if they're self-seeded, they're spiky. Terrible. And
is it a good time to cut back grevillea?
Yes.
Okay. That is Sabrina Hahn doing the express version there of Roots and Shoots.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.